This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 47 minutes past 7 o'clock. I'm Kusu Chuang, joined by Sharij Abdullah and Lynn Mark. Lynn Mark, in about, 18 minutes' time, you'll be talking to a gentleman named Roger Fisk. What's that all about?
Yes, so Roger Fisk is one of the former campaign strategists for former US President Barack Obama. So he worked on the 2008 and 2012 presidential campaigns. He's quite an interesting fellow. So we talked a little bit about the Obama campaign's use of social media, the changing political landscape, as well as his observations going into the 2020 and presidential elections, which are coming soon.
It will be a blockbuster. One promises. Okay, now the Prime Minister last week of Malaysia, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, said last week that existing environmental protection legislation must be reviewed. He was, of course, referring and responding to the illegal toxic waste dumping in Sungai Kim Kim near Pasir Gurang that affected the health of thousands in the areas and more specifically dozens of students from neighbouring schools. To date, no arrests have been made, but the public have been calling for severe penalties for the perpetrators.
Yeah, so Environment Minister Yeo Bee Yin was there to clean up, saying that cleanup of the river has been completed under the current legislation, namely Section 34B of the Environmental Quality Act 1974. Those found guilty of dumping scheduled waste on land or Malaysia waters could be sentenced up to 5 years imprisonment and fine not exceeding 500,000 ringgit.
So the devastating consequences of this latest environmental incident have led Malaysians to question, are our laws sufficiently robust to curb environmental damage on the scale? To explore this question, we have on the line Jia Yaqiu, the co-chair of the Bar Council Environmental and Climate Change Committee. Yaqiu, thank you for joining us. When it comes to penalties, the spotlight has already been on Section 34B of the Environmental Quality Act of 1974, which specifically deals with illegal dumping of waste. How effective has this law been in curbing environmental damage?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. You can just call me Jia Yao. So I think on the question here on how effective the EQA is, Tun Mahathir's call for a possible review of the Act, I think from the outset that there was already an exercise to look into updating the law, in fact, in replacing it with a new Environmental Protection Act. Yeah.
Yep, so...
So I think the Prime Minister did not appear to be aware of that effort that was actually spearheaded by the DOE on this new act. But as it is now, environmental governance is actually largely reliant on the Environmental Quality Act of 1974. I think the Pasir Gudang case is illustrated very well the various shortcomings of this act.
Right. And Jaya, how have previous cases of environmental damage been treated under the current laws in Malaysia?
I think they've been treated in a very conservative and top-down attitude towards environmental problems. In the sense, the governments will wait, the agencies will wait for reports from the public or for something bad to happen. And when it does, then they will look at it on a case-to-case basis and then mete out the punishments under the EQA, for example, the 34B that you've mentioned earlier, meting out fines and bringing out prosecutions. Now, this approach is very conservative. It is very obsolete in that you have various bottlenecks. Number one, it is reliant largely on the resources available by the DOE. So... There's only so much budget that they have. They can only do that much monitoring. They can only carry out that much investigation. And they can only respond to so many complaints. And so that is a big problem. And that is an obsolete today in an age of data and in the age of civil society participation. And we've read in the papers from the Johor Malaysian Nature Society vice president as well as from the water quality Dr. Zaki Zainuddin that they have been bringing up this issue of pollution at Sungai Kim Kim for many years, even before the 7 March incident.
Jiao Yao, so with regards to that, I mean, we have the law, but the question is on enforcement. So how strong has the enforcement been?
I think enforcement has not been, you know, the enforcement is on a case-to-case basis, and that is the problem. And I think one of the things we really need to look at, and it may be an inconvenient truth, and that is on the DOE's ability itself. It's part of the institutional reforms that we need. It's because right now, as I was talking about the top-down and rather paternalistic attitude towards environmental governance, it is entirely the government's business to handle the environment. And for civil society, for members of the public, all we can do is to make reports. And then we are not informed about actions taken, decisions made regarding our reports. We don't know who, what has happened since. Agencies like the DOE are not obliged to come back to us about what they're doing about it. And so there is, in terms of resources, there is this ready pool of information and resources on the part of the public and civil society and even businesses that are that have an interest. They are not empowered in that sense. And so, you know, I think governance today should really have a different mindset. That's one aspect. I think the next aspect, I think, is these laws look at the environmental disaster as an environmental problem, but like in Sungai Kimkim's situation, this is a business culture problem, right? Because the pollution was done by businesses. So we have to address the business culture problem as well.
All right, Jiayao, thanks so much for your time. That was Q Jiayao, the co-chair of the Bar Council Environment and Climate Change Committee. Interesting saying that legislation is sufficiently robust, but it's really enforcement and on a very situational basis, on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. Looking at the penalty here, I mean, we're talking about 5 years and 500,000.
Not a lot.
That's not a lot, isn't it?
And the perpetrators are not even in the dock for the cost of cleanup, which they should be, on a real basis.
Yep, so that's one of the suggestions that's been mooted, that these perpetrators will be made liable to pay for the cost of cleaning up the damage as well as compensating any affected parties.
Yeah, I mean, having spoken to the environmental minister, YB Yobi-Yin, some months ago, we know that certain legislation is coming on climate change, and we are right now smack bang in the middle of this heat wave that's going to be lasting at least a couple more days. So I think we need a much more holistic situation and a solution.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.